Thankful for the presence of the Lord here today, aren't you? Again, it's good to see each one of you here and say, God, richly bless you. Our guests, we thank you for coming and worshiping the Lord with us. Thank you, Lord. If you have your Bibles today, turn with me to the book of 2 Chronicles, chapter 20. 2 Chronicles, chapter 20. Sometimes I wonder why the Lord gives me the message that He gives me until I get to church and realize and know exactly the direction. Aren't you thankful God knows all the time anyway? Just makes us wonder sometimes. But in 2 Chronicles chapter 20, beginning at reading at verse number 1, thank you for reading, standing for the reading of God's Word. God's Word is so precious indeed, and it's this Word that's going to get you out of this world. It came to pass after this also that the children of Moab and the children of Ammon, and with them others beside the Amorites, came against Jehoshaphat to battle. Then there came some that told Jehoshaphat, saying, There cometh a great multitude against thee from beyond the sea, on this side of Syria, and behold, they be in Hazan Tamar, which is in Engedi. And Jehoshaphat feared, and set himself to seek the Lord, and proclaim a fast throughout all Judea, or Judah. And Judah gathered themselves together to ask help of the Lord. And Judah gathered themselves together to ask help of the Lord. Even out of all the cities of Judah, they came to seek the Lord. And Jehoshaphat stood in the congregation of Judah and Jerusalem in the house of the Lord before the new courts. And this is what Jehoshaphat said. O Lord, God of our fathers, art not Thou God in heaven? And rulest not thou over all the kingdoms of the heathen? And in thine hand is not power and might, so that none is able to withstand thee? Verse 7. Art not thou God, who didst drive out the inhabitants of this land before thy people Israel, and givest it to the seed of Abraham, thy friend, forever? Let's pray. Father God in heaven, we ask you, Lord, that you'll open up our ears to hear, our hearts to receive. Let me speak the words that you'd have me to speak. And I pray, O God, that we will have our faith increased and enriched in thee. And we thank you, O God, and we give you praise in Jesus' name. And everybody said, Amen. If I would title this message today, I would like to entitle it, God, who are you? The question that I just ask as my title, and the question that Jehoshaphat was asking, was not asking concerning God's existence, was not asking if God was not still on the throne. But there's circumstances in our lives that come our way, and we cannot help but wonder if God hasn't fallen asleep or went on a vacation somewhere, because of the circumstances of our life seem to overwhelm us, and we can't quite get a grasp on things, and we wonder why things happen the way they happen. Anybody ever wondered about that? So it's not the point of questioning God's existence. That's not it at all. But it's the point of, God, are you really there to reach down and save us, restore us, keep us, guide us, and direct us? In this passage of Scripture, in fact, the whole chapter, it brings about some encouraging things, but in the aspect of that, it shows us of how real life is and how human we are and how human they were. But it brings us to a place to help us to realize that God is our only source. It said it came to pass that the Moabites and the Amorites and a company from Seir, they had come down against Judah, and they was going to defeat them and they was going to destroy them. As I begin to look at this and read this and study that, and I even put in my notes, the mob was coming after them. Anybody heard the word mob lately? And it seems like that we are in fluctuated in our society today. Things are so sideways, and the mob seems to have the precedence of whatever is going on, and somehow we feel like we have been overwhelmed by all of this virus that's going on and all the other things in our world, this craziness that's going on, and we really wonder, God, are you really in control of what's happening down here? Anybody considered that lately? Nobody wants to raise their hands, but nevertheless, God, are you really in control? That's what Jehoshaphat was saying here. That there's a great multitude that's coming against us. Let me give you a little bit of background. The children of Moab and the children of Ammon was a couple of cities and countries or people that when the children of Israel come up out of Egypt, God did not allow them to destroy them because God said, I've got other inheritance for you, so I want you to leave them alone. The people of Moab and the people of Ammon was also the children of Lot, which was bred out of incest. So you see the question that Jehoshaphat had in his mind and his heart. God, here we are about to be infiltrated by people that we could have destroyed and got rid of and not had to worry about a long time ago. And because of the sin of Lot's children and because of the incest, here we are dealing with this junk. Some of you have wondered why you're dealing with the stuff you're dealing with. Have you not? God, why do I have to deal with the stuff that I'm dealing with? I don't understand it. It looks like I put it under the blood a long time ago, and here it is again. I'm having to deal with it again. We should have got rid of it. We should have had it annihilated, but here we are again. We are dealing with this stuff again because of it wasn't taken care of. But we find that Jehoshaphat, as he gathered the multitude together, and as he brought the children of Judah together, and Jehoshaphat feared, he allowed fear to come upon his heart and life. I think that's one of the biggest circumstances that we're dealing with today is fear. People are dealing with fear and anxiety. And the more I began to prepare for this sermon, I thought, man, this is a lot like my sermon last week. So there must be something that we need to get a hold of somewhere. But fear and anxiety. But God did not give us a spirit of fear. The spirit of fear does not come from God. I can tell you the spirit of fear will make you do things that you do not normally do. The spirit of fear will make you anxious and cause you to do things and say things you do not normally do. A spirit of fear that comes upon us. You need not be afraid. God is a sovereign God and He does have this thing. He's got this thing, but fear grabbed a hold of Jehoshaphat's heart, and he called the people together. And they proclaimed a fast all through Judah. And I want you to listen closely in verse number 4. And Judah gathered themselves together to ask help of the Lord. Out of all the cities of Judah, they came to seek the Lord. There came a time and a place. Now here's the clue and where we really need to get a hold of this thing. Fear can bring unity, or fear can bring a place of disunity to where it absolutely can destroy and separate. Are you hearing me? Fear can get us to a place. Statistics are that because of all of this, a lot of people that once attended church faithfully will never come back to church again. Because of fear, because of just getting lethargic, because of getting used to it. Well, I can take care of it anyway. Well, listen, the Bible tells us that we are to come together in unity and assemble together to worship the Lord. And we'll see that again here in just a little bit. But we must understand that we must come together as a body under the umbrella of the family of the Lord Jesus Christ. We must come together in believing. We must come together not in fear, but in unity, knowing that God has everything under control. We can come to a place that we get contrary. You know anybody that's ever got contrary? Anybody ever got contrary? Yeah, we get contrary and we say things and do things, as I mentioned a while ago, that we don't normally do. And we backbite and we fuss and we fight. We allow fear to rule our life instead of letting Christ rule our life. And in so much more in times like these, I don't know about you, but I compare this message today that what we've been dealing with is we're facing the Moabites and the Amorites. We're facing enemies that we're not familiar with. We're facing certain, it is in the spiritual. They was fixing to go to war in the natural, but we're facing these things spiritual and we're bewildered by all this that's going on. We need to be more faithful to God's house and more faithful to God's people and praying today more than we ever have before. Unity. There needs to be unity in the body of Christ. Hear me. Look at your neighbor and say, we got to get together in unity. That's kind of weak. You need to do it again. We need to get together in unity. There's something special about unity. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse number 10, Paul writes this to the Corinthian church. Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye all speak the same thing, and that there be no division among you, but that ye be perfectly joined together in the same mind, in the same judgment, that we all come together. That doesn't mean that we have to believe every little bitty detail about the circumstances of our life, but regardless, we can put them aside and come together. And in the name of Jesus Christ, we have a goal and we have a purpose and we have a plan that is under the umbrella of Jesus Christ, and we're going to work with that plan and we're going to be fellow laborers together. He said that there be no division among you. None. Zilch. Unity is vitally important. Church, we desperately need each other in times like these. I said we desperately need each other in times like these. We don't know what tomorrow may bring, but we know for certain that things will never be the same again. That's becoming more apparent every day. Jehoshaphat stood in the congregation of Judah and Jerusalem at the house of the Lord in the new court, and he said, "Lord, God of our fathers, who are you in this circumstance? Why are we having to deal with the Moabites and the Amorites and the otherites? What are we having to do with them? Don't you rule the kingdoms over all the kingdoms of the earth? Don't you rule all these things and you're letting them come against us?" Hear me, church. Listen to me today. God already knows what people's thinking. We're not holding anything from Him. We're not hiding anything from Him. He knows. And perhaps there's not a doubt in my mind that most of us has asked us, "God, I thought you was in control of all these things. Why have you let this plague come against us? Why are we having to deal with this stuff? Are you not the God of heaven?" And it's not in a scolding way. Listen to me. It's not, Jehoshaphat's not doing this to God in a scolding way. He's standing in the house of God. And he's saying, "God, I just need to know, what in the world am I dealing with? Why am I having to go through things like this? Are you not the God of heaven? Do you not control all things? I'm saying things today that you've thought in your mind that you would not let come out of your mouth because you're so spiritual." But I'm telling you, we cannot help as a human being. It does not mean we do not understand and recognize that God's God. It does not mean that we know He's a sovereign God and He's got everything taken care of, but you're still human, I think. And there's circumstances exactly where Jehoshaphat was coming from. Again, he wasn't questioning the existence of God. He was just wanting to know, God, why am I dealing with this stuff? Where in the world are you in times when we need you so desperately? Art not thou our God? Are you not God that has driven out the inhabitants? We've seen you do all these other things. You've heard of the testimonies that was given this morning, and I thank God for them, don't you? Hallelujah. I thank God for them, but there's still circumstances that you're faced with that you just want to know that God will intervene. I thank God for Larry's cousin. Hello? I thank God for touching Brother Lynn. I thank God for touching Sister Merrill's nephew. I thank God for all of these. But God, right now I'm dealing with some stuff and I need some intervention. Anybody with me? Right now, God, I need some intervention. I need to know that you're still on your throne. I need to know that you're still behind me and you've got my back. Art not thou God? And as I move on through the scriptures, we find that the children of Ammon, the children of Moab and Mount Seir, those people were coming against. They could have been taken care of when they come out of Egypt, but they wouldn't. And now here we are, God. You ever been praying and say, God, here am I. Right now, here I am. And in verse number 12, he said, O our God, wilt thou not judge them? God, will you not arrest this thing they call COVID-19 and send it back to hell? Let it attach itself to the ears of Satan till it absolutely destroys him and drives him crazy. You know what I'm talking about. God, will you not arrest this thing? I don't know how many people I've heard that desire, can we just not get back to some normalcy? And we're all afraid that that'll never happen again. But how many just like to get it back to a little bit of normalcy? Yeah. At least 5 or 6 of us. The rest of us, you're on your own. Just get back to a little bit of normalcy. And that's exactly where Jehoshaphat was. Our God, will you not judge us? Will you not judge them? Will you not come to our rescue? For we have no might. There's not a thing that you and I can do against this thing besides wear a mask and stay in the house. And sorry, I can't do that. I can't do that. For we have no might against this great company. Going back to the Amorites and the Moabites. Jehoshaphat says, we have no might against this great company. Neither do we have a clue what we're supposed to do. Anybody ever been there? Now listen to the next few words. But our eyes are upon you. Don't sound like it was a king that was trying to figure out if God still existed or not. Hello? God, I just need you to come to my rescue. We've sung songs about that. God, I need you to come to my rescue. I just need a little bit of normalcy and help in my life. God, we don't know what to do. We're not able to come against this thing. It's about to overwhelm everybody. People that are going nuts and people that are about nuts and people are driving me nuts. I don't know what to do, God, but I'm looking to you. I'm looking to you. My eyes are upon you. And all of Judah stood before the Lord and their little ones and their wives and their children. And I want to go back to the part of unity, church. It is imperative. You quit talking about one another. You quit putting each other down. You quit destroying them with your words. And you begin to lift him up and pray for them and ask God to move in their hearts and in their lives. Church, it's time that we come together under the unity and the banner of God Almighty and say, God, will you help us, O Lord? We need your strength right now. God, we need your help right now. God, we need you to intervene among us right now. And then the Bible says that Jehazel, the son of Zechariah, and it lists all of his other people in his lineage that only he can pronounce. And I just want to emphasize that as Jehazel, the son of Zechariah, the Spirit of the Lord came in the midst of the congregation, came upon Jehazel, and he began to prophesy and tell what great things God was going to do. Can I tell you, church, among anything and everything else, the Spirit of God came down on Jehazel in the midst of the congregation. I don't know about you, but when the Spirit of God descends, I want to be in His midst. I don't want to be out on the lake somewhere. I don't want to be in the shopping mall somewhere. I don't want to be doing my own thing. But oh God, when Your Spirit comes down, let me be in the midst of the congregation where You're at. I just want to be where You are, God. I just want to be where You are, God. Tell you, I know I've read that scripture several times before, but when I read it again and realized that the Spirit of God moved on Jehazel, I just want to be somebody where God can look down and let His Spirit fall upon and use me for His glory and for His honor. And especially, you know what? We need to quit praying and doing what we want to do. We need to pray, God, will You fall? Let Your Spirit fall on me. Let Your Spirit fall on me. Lord, let me be worth something for the kingdom of heaven's sake. Boy, that'll preach right there, won't it? I've been called a lot of things, and I've been even accused of people saying, "Boy, Pastor, you're really something." You ever wondered what that really meant? "Brother Paul, you're really something, sir. You're really something." I've been told that several times. "You're really something." Well, I just want to be really something that God can use. Hello? Man, if that don't strike a chord and note in your heart, you need to come to the altar and talk to Jesus. I want to be where the Spirit of God is. And he said, the Spirit of God came upon Jehazel, and he said, "Hearken ye all of Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem, and thou, King Jehoshaphat, thus saith the Lord God unto you, be not afraid nor dismayed by reason of this great multitude." Listen to me, church. You may not hear it audibly, and there may not no one prophesy it, but I'm here preaching it to you today, that the circumstances that you are facing today in the coronavirus and all the mob that's in our world today, and the junk and the pollution that's in our courtrooms, and the pollution that's in our Congress and Senate, I'm here to tell you today that God's saying, don't be fearful, don't be afraid, don't be dismayed, because I got this thing. It doesn't matter what happens to this physical body, I got a place to put people like you to stay under the blood, sanctified by Jesus Christ, on your way to heaven, and knowing that He's got a place in the heavenlies, that He's prepared a place for you where streets are pure gold, mansions are on every side. There's a river of life that runs down the middle. Blessed be the name of the Lord. God's got this under control. The Lord said to you, be not afraid, be not dismayed. For the reason of this great multitude, for the reasons of all this stuff that you're experiencing in 2020, do you understand and realize that our world has stolen from us the first 8 months of 2020. I'm out here to declare for the glory of God, we're going to take it back in the name of Jesus. For He spoke these words, "For the battle is not yours, but it's mine." If you don't remember anything else, you need to jot this down. Do not allow the circumstances around you to shake you. There's a lot of folks that are singing Elvis Presley's song, I'm All Shook Up. And very few people that are singing God's song, I Rest in the Shelter of His Love. Oh, come on, preach with me for just a little while. I'm almost through. All acts finishing. The Lord said, be not afraid, be not dismayed by the reason of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but it's God's. This battle's not yours. Your circumstances is out of your control, but God is still in control of your circumstances and of your life. He said, tomorrow go down against them. Behold, they come up by the cliff Ziz, and you shall find them by the brook before the wilderness of Jeruel. Ye shall not fight in this battle. Here's what some of you are thinking, but God, if we don't do it, who's going to? That's what some of us think. God, you can't handle it without me. And if you ain't quick enough, I'm going to have to handle it all on my own. Hello? Ye shall not fight in this battle. Set yourself, stand ye still, and see the salvation of the Lord. He is with you, O Judah and Jerusalem. Fear not, nor be dismayed, for tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord will be with you. Two things I want to call your attention to. Some things God don't need your help. Now some of you are thinking, God don't need our help on anything. Well, that's true to a certain point. But you have to admit that He used David as a little boy and a sling to bring down Goliath. There are circumstances in our life that God does use humans to see His will through and to see the circumstance through. But there's other circumstances you need to get your hands off of and leave it alone and let God take care of it. Just get out your songbook and get ready to sing, because God's going to take care of the rest. Is anybody listening to me? There's some things in your life that you need to get your hands off of and let God be God. And when you read that passage of Scripture, not only can He handle it, He doesn't need your help, but also He said to stand and to set yourself and to be still. Can I also tell you that standing still does not mean to hide behind a tree or behind your mask? Though they did not fight, they did know to pray. And Jehoshaphat bowed his head and his face to the ground, and all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem fell before the Lord, and they worshiped Him. That's why it's so vitally important that we come together and we worship God. There is something special about corporate prayer. There is something absolutely that when we come together in corporate worship, that the heavens are moved. When we come together in corporate prayer and we come together in corporate worship, there is something that happens in the heavenly. Can I tell you, God observes and He knows when we come together to worship Him. And Jehoshaphat bowed his head, and they fell before the Lord and they worshiped Him. And the Levites and the children of the Kohathites and the Korahites and the rest of the Ites. And I don't know where all these Ites come from, did you? But nevertheless, here we are as humanites. And we need to learn to stand and praise the Lord. But Pastor, there's sometimes I just don't feel like praising Him. There's sometimes that I just don't feel like thanking Him. You know, in circumstances like we're facing, in the hour that we're living in, and we're coming against the spiritual realms of the Moabites and the Amorites, it does not matter how we feel. It's what the Word says, and the Word says to pray, and the Word says to worship. And they rose up early in the morning. And I'm almost finished. They rose up early in the morning, and they went to the wilderness. And Jehoshaphat stood and said, "Hear, O Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem, believe." Oh, I hadn't heard that word yet this morning. Believe. There is a connection between believe and prayer and worship. Come on, somebody. That it was emphasized so many times in this passage of Scripture that we must believe in the Lord with all your heart, and God shall establish you. And we must believe in the prophets. We must believe in our pastors. We must believe in our leaders. And God will prosper. God brings forth the prospering. I want to ask you a very, very tough question that only you can answer today. With that passage of Scripture, he said, "Believe in the Lord your God." Believe. It takes something special to believe in God in times like these. Hello? I said, it takes something special to believe God. Not that He is, but that He'll do something about it. Two different things. God is. We don't deny existence. But sometimes we doubt whether He's going to intervene because we're about ready to sink. So we must believe where He is and believe that the Lord is our God and that He has established us and He has put prophets and pastors and leaders in our way, and we must believe with everything that is within us. Now, here's the question that I want to give to you today. Where is and how deep is your commitment to God? Do you just believe that He exists? And you're questioning His ability to intervene? Are you to a place that you're spending quality time with Him and alone with Him? Or are you so busy with all the things in the world today that you barely have time for Him on Sunday morning, if then? Hey, just thought I'd throw that in there. It's vitally important that you understand and whatever today is, 15th, August 15th, 2020, 16th. I just wanted to make sure a couple of us knew where we were. The rest of us, we're still wondering. Thank you, Sister Janice. August 16th, 2020, what is your commitment to God? Where are you at with Him? How much do you believe that He has the ability to do? Where is your commitment? Verse 21. And when he had consulted with the people, he appointed singers unto the Lord. Yeah, right. Yeah, we're going to sing our way out of this mess. Hello? In worship. I cannot tell you the times that I have begun to praise and worship God. And when I got through and the Spirit of God fell, my circumstances wasn't nothing what I thought they were. Hey, where is your commitments? What are you willing to do to achieve an answer from God? Where are you at? When he consulted the people and he appointed singers that they should praise the beauty of his holiness. I want you to know, when you begin to think about the things of God, everything else in this life begins to fade away, and there isn't anything more important than the power of God and praise. To praise the beauty of His holiness. And they went out against the army, praising the Lord, for His mercy endureth forever. Listen, I believe that there's a time that we are in, this time right now. It calls for new strategy. Our belief in God must go to the next level, and we must pave it with prayer and worship unto God as we believe in Him. And when they begin to sing and they begin to praise, God sent an ambush. Hey, I'm telling you, God is experienced in spiritual warfare. He will send an ambush and He will take care of those things that are ahead of you. It doesn't matter if it's a sick loved one laying in bed. God knows how to send an ambush to destroy the illness. It does not matter if your finances is in shambles. God knows how to send an ambush to give you the liberty and the freedom and to bring about things that you have been dealing with and give you blessings. God sent an ambush. Most of you probably read this story, but it's so awesome. The Moabites and the Amorites, they were so concerned about the people from Mount Seir that they thought that they was going to come against them and get all the loot and get all the victory. And so the Amorites and the Moabites come against the people of Mount Seir and they destroyed them. And in the midst of all that, while they was doing that and thought they was doing things good for themselves, God sent an ambush in the middle of them and they began to fight each other and kill each other. And all the time, the people of God's back here singing the glory of God. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. Hey, church, let me tell you, it's the glory of God that'll fight the battles for you. They destroyed each other. And they come out on the battlefield and all they could see was the enemy destroyed. Hey, I'm here to tell you, if you'll keep a right mind and a sane mind, if you'll keep the Spirit of God in your heart and your life, and you pray like you've never prayed before, you worship like you've never worshiped before, you pray for one another, you lift up one another like never before, don't let envy and strife and contention get a hold of you and bring you down, because it'll destroy you and you'll be defeated in the midst of it all. But you need to learn to sing praises in the midnight hour. You need to learn to sing praises when everything is going good. You need to learn to sing praises to God when there ain't nothing going good. You need to learn to sing praises to God when there ain't nothing growing on the crops, in the fields. You need to praise God when your boss says there ain't nothing going on and going to have to lay off. Just go ahead and praise God. God knows and He'll keep you and He will guide you and He will sustain you. I want you to know, in the midst of it all they did was rear back and sing praises unto God. And when they viewed the battlefield, God had already taken care of it. And they found among them, listen, this is the blessings of God. Out of this mess, out of this circumstance, out of things that you can't control, God will bring the blessings. I looked at this and I thought of this. Why was these men, Moabites and Amorites, why was they out in the battlefield fighting and they had all their goods with them? Did you ever think about that? So what the enemy sees evil against you, God means it for good. Well, you know, I got this Rolex watch, they said one to another, I'm just going to stick in my pocket. Hello? Listen to me. God's bigger than anything that you ever faced. I said, God's bigger than anything that you ever faced. It took the children of Judah 3 days to gather up all the spoil. 3 days. All this mess that you've been dealing with, victory is coming. And it's going to take you more than just a day to give God praise for all that He has done for you and all that He has given you and all He's going to get back to you, because He told us that He would restore what the canker worm, He'd restore what the locust has taken away. He's going to restore what the coronavirus has taken from you. He's going to restore it, but don't give up on praising Him. 3 days. 3 days. Chris, go ahead and come to the piano. There's a lot more here. On verse 26, on the fourth day they assembled themselves in the valley of Bacharu. I think it's how you pronounce that. If not, you can correct me later. But here's the secret. You know what that Bacharu means? It means the valley of blessings. Can't say the name right, but I can tell you it means blessings. Hey, I'm not telling you that God's going to give you $1 million at the end of the rainbow and all that stuff. You ain't going to need it where you're going anyway. You're going to be walking on streets of gold. I'm just going to tell you today, beyond a shadow of a doubt, that God's Word is going to tell you He's going to restore what the enemy's taken away from you. And He's going to bless you. And you're going to rejoice. Listen, here's the secret. You can read the rest of the chapter. To me, this is so, so awesome. Because of what God did for Jehoshaphat and the children of Judah, those people around about, read it, those people around about seen what Judah's God done, and they respected them and they honored them. There is nothing any more precious in this life to allow God to bless you, keep you, and you keep praising God when everybody else is griping and whining, and to see the blessings of God come upon your life and people's going to wonder how in the world you kept your mind sane in all this mess. And then they're going to recognize that Jesus is the only answer. Jesus is the answer. How many believes that? If you believe Jesus is the answer, would you stand with me? Jesus is the answer. Heads bowed, eyes closed. Heavenly Father, we thank You, O God, for Your Word. We thank You, Lord, for Your peace. We thank You, O God, that Your Word is yea and amen, that you're exactly what You say You are and who You say You are. And Lord God, we know that we can trust You. Lord, if there are anyone here today that doesn't know You as their personal Savior, I pray, oh God, that You will let Your Spirit tap them on the shoulder and speak to their heart, knowing beyond a shadow of a doubt that we can know that we are saved. God, You're on our side and we're on our way to heaven. Would there be one here today who say, Pastor, I'm really confused at my life and what's going on, but I need the Savior. I need God's help. Is there one today? You just slip up your hand right quick and right back down. God, I need Your touch. Lord, I need You. How many today recognizes what I preach to you, that God's faithful, God's true, and we're believing on Him? Would you just lift your hand toward heaven and let's just give Him a praise? Let's be like the children of Judah. God, we're going to give You praise in the midst of all that's going on, and when it looks like that everything in the world and all hell's turned against us, God, we know that You're still on the throne, and we still give You praise and we give You glory and we give You honor. Lord God, we thank You. We give You praise, oh God. Thank You for Your people.
Oh, let's worship the Lord.
Hallelujah.
In the beauty of holiness. Worship Him. Let's worship the Lord.
Lord, we worship.
He's worthy to be praised. Let's worship the Lord and give Him the glory. Let's stand to our feet, let's lift up our hands, let's worship the Lord. Well, let's worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Let's worship the Lord, He's worthy to be praised. Let's worship the Lord and give Him the glory. Let's stand to our feet. Let's lift up our hands, let's worship the Lord. Let's stand to our feet, let's lift up our hands, let's worship the Lord.
How many give the Lord a big hand clap of praise and shout hallelujah? Hallelujah, hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Jesus. I have an assignment for you when you go home and before you come back to church tonight. And hopefully you will come back to church tonight. Read Psalms chapter 91 and tell me God's not real. God bless you. See you tonight at 6 o'clock.